I speak to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Whenever I read the story of the Transfiguration, I always say to myself, wow, I wish I were there. I wish I could see Jesus resplendent with light coming out of him. I wish I could see the glory of God streaming out of Jesus Christ. And yet, at the heart of the Transfiguration story is that Jesus was not transfigured for himself, but that he was transfigured for us. And so, in a way, we have to figure out today how it is that indeed we are present at the transfiguration of Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but if you look at your bulletin today, you will see the collect of the day. And if you read the collect of the day, what you'll see is this. The collect of the day says that we pray that we might be transfigured as Jesus was transfigured in his light and glory. In other words, from the beginning of this service, what we have asked is this. Not that we would just know more about Jesus being transfigured, nor that we would know more about Jesus alone, but that we would be transfigured with Jesus, with the disciples, and that we would be changed, transformed into something more than when we walked into this church today. In fact, I would say that none of you got up this morning just so you could know a little bit more about Jesus. What I would say, maybe perhaps challenge you with, is that you got up so that you might be transformed by Jesus, not just know a little bit more about Jesus. And so, we begin with these three really interesting readings. We've got a reading from Exodus, we've got a reading from 2 Peter, and we've got a reading from Matthew. And if you are paying attention to both the Exodus reading and paying attention to the Matthew reading, what you will realize very quickly is that a lot of the stuff in the Transfiguration is stuff that was in the Exodus reading from the 24th chapter. In other words, Moses going up the mountain has a lot to do with what happened with Jesus on the high mountain that he went up to and was transfigured on at the top of that mountain. If you look at it, you'll see that Moses waited 6 days, and that it was after 6 days that Jesus went up. You'll notice that it was Moses and Elijah who were there at the top of the mountain with Jesus. What you'll notice is that there are all of these similarities. There's a cloud, and there's the voice of God that speaks out of the cloud. And there's no accident. And yet, what we also know when we look at that Exodus reading, and we look at the Matthew reading of the Transfiguration, is that the Transfiguration story is not identical to the Moses story with Moses receiving the Ten Commandments. They're similar, but they're not the same. In many ways, what we have oftentimes with the New Testament and the Old Testament is we have stories that are similar and point to those old stories, but they're not exactly the same. Something new is happening, and something that was old is being made new by what is happening with Jesus Christ. And we've kind of got to get to the meat of that. Now, if you look at 2 Peter, what you'll realize is something really fascinating with this reading. As I was saying in Bible study, we have the Bible in 2 Peter commenting on interpreting the Bible. It's one of these weird places where the Bible kind of comes out of the text and says, hey, you over there, this is how you're supposed to read Scripture, right? And it's fascinating because normally we're reading Scripture and the Bible doesn't tell us how to read it. We're reading it and sometimes we go, I don't know how to make heads or tails out of this, right? And so in this reading from Peter, 2 Peter actually tells us how to read Scripture. It's one of those fascinating places. Okay, so here's the deal. What Peter says is this. He says, you know what? You have been reading about the Old Testament Scriptures since you were little kids. You know the Old Testament Scriptures. But here's the problem with the Old Testament Scriptures. Now, he's telling this to people who are right after the time of Jesus, right? And so some of them, they may have actually seen and known Jesus, right? So he's talking to people who are 2,000 years before us. All right, and he says, look, I know that all of you know the story of Moses going up Mount Sinai. I know that you know this, right? But he says, we're not talking about cleverly devised myths. We're not talking about that. What we're talking about is the record of things that have happened between God and man. We're not talking about cleverly devised myths. We're talking about things that have actually happened. And then he says, the problem, of course, when we look at the story of Moses going up Mount Sinai, is that none of us were there in the wilderness with the Israelites. None of us went up the mountain with Moses. None of us were there with Joshua. Right? He says, that's a problem because what we have is we have second-hand information of what happened in Exodus. Now, it's good second-hand information. It's important second-hand information. It's necessary second-hand information. But by itself, it is not enough. And he says to them, you know, I was up on the mountain with Jesus, with James and John. We were up on this mountain. And guess what? We had a firsthand experience of God's grace on that mountain. In other words, we're not just interpreting what happened on Mount Sinai with Moses based on secondhand information. We actually received the grace of God through the light of Jesus Christ being transfigured on the mountain. We know that God was at work in Jesus Christ. Not only did we see Jesus being transfigured, but we actually heard the voice of God. And the voice of God told us who Jesus was. We told us that God was pleased with Jesus. And the voice of God told us to listen to Jesus. In other words, when we read the story of Moses going up Mount Sinai, we've had experiences of God's grace. And guess what he says? The same God who was giving grace through Moses and the law on Mount Sinai is the same grace who was, the same God who was giving grace to us when we saw Jesus transfigured and when we heard the voice of God. In other words, the same story of salvation history is going on. But he said, the really powerful thing is this, is that we are not just reading the story of Moses on Mount Sinai and the giving of the law in relation to that story we read. We're lucky because we are reading it through our experience of grace in seeing Jesus being transfigured in light. In other words, we know stuff about that story that happened on Mount Sinai that, quite frankly, not even Moses knew about. In other words, the present right now is transforming the past because we now have more experiences of grace than they did back then. And he said, this is powerful because what it says is this, is that the scriptures are not a dead letter. The scriptures are in fact a living letter that is pointing us not only to grace that happened long ago, and not only to the grace that John and James and I had on the mountain, but it's also pointing to the fact that you yourselves are embodying salvation history. And God is working in and through you in salvation history. And that the same grace that is coming down to you by God, in and through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, is the same grace that was happening back then. Now, I asked the people in the Bible study, how many of you here have had an experience of God's grace? Raise your hand if you've had an experience of God's grace. Raise your hand. All right? I see a lot of hands, okay? Right. All of you have had some experience of God's grace. And what Peter is saying is this, that grace of God that you have had, you need that in order to read Scripture. Because the same grace that you're having an experience of God's grace with is the same experience that we had an experience of God's grace with when we were up on the mountain and we saw Jesus transfigured. And not only that, but it's the same God at work in Mount Sinai giving the law. What he says is this. On top of that, it's not just about knowing that the same grace you had is the same grace that I had when I was experienced in God's grace in the transfiguration of Jesus Christ. No, he said, it's not just about knowledge. It's not about knowing, oh, I'm so glad now I know more about Jesus or I know more about the grace that I received. He said, what I'm interested in and what I would hope you're interested in is being transfigured like I was when I was in the presence of Jesus Christ. I would hope that you'd be transfigured like Jesus was transfigured. I would hope that the light of Jesus Christ would impact you in such a way that you would never be the same, and that you would realize that in your transfiguration, salvation history was being made real. In other words, when you read the transfiguration of Jesus, your response shouldn't be, boy, I wish I were there. What Peter is saying is, that's not good enough. How about this? You all have had an experience of God's grace in and through Jesus Christ, and guess what? You all are being transfigured by the same light that was transfiguring Jesus Christ. And just as Jesus' light shining out of him and shining into your eyes and the voice of God that you heard, all of that is transfiguring you in such a way that you should know that salvation in history did not stop at the transfiguration, did not stop at the crucifixion, did not stop at the resurrection, did not even stop at the ascension. And he says, salvation history is still going on because you're still receiving God's grace. And he says this. What's more powerful, what's more important, quite frankly, what's more real in your life than knowing that you are a bearer of salvation history and God's grace and that you are being transfigured just as Jesus was on the mountain? I challenge you to find a vocation or a job more important than being the bearer of salvation history and being transformed by the glory and grace of God in and through the light of Christ. I challenge you to find something more important. Hey, Wash, were you important in the eyes of the world when you were doing your job? Did you count lots of money for the world? Yes, okay. Would you rather be a bearer of God's salvation history or count the world's money? Bearer of salvation history. There you go. None of you have counted as much money as Wash Dender has in his life. And you know what he said? He'd rather be the bearer of God's salvation history and the glory of God than count all the world's money. That's pretty powerful. Now getting back to why all of you are here today. It's rainy, it's cold, it's gray, it's overcast. You know that cloud that was overhanging Mount Sinai? Well, it's overhanging Tryon today, right? It's clinging to the mountain, okay? And you all could have said, I look out the door and say, no, thank you. I will see you on another day, a sunny day. Instead, all of you said, in spite of all of my hesitation, in spite of all of my fear of getting wet and ruining my clothes, I'm going to church so that I might be transformed and transfigured by the light of Jesus Christ, so that I might be the bearer of salvation history. And Peter goes on, he says this, guess what? This is the powerful thing. You're not just receiving God's grace so that you can have a great feeling, so that you can be transformed. Hey, Wash, are you going to share your experience of grace with other people?
Yes, but right now.
I would challenge you. I would challenge you, Wash, and here's what I would say. You are sharing God's grace right now. Where are you? You're in the midst of the body of Christ. You're in the midst of the kingdom of God. You being here is exactly where God wants you to be part of the story and to share the story. There's no other place that God wants you right now than exactly right here, because right here is where salvation history is unfolding in and through all of you. If we removed all of us, if we removed all of you, if I just go back 2 Sundays ago when nobody was here and I was trying to celebrate the Eucharist by myself, it's a bad idea. I was wondering where salvation history was happening. But now I am not wondering where salvation history is happening, because it's happening right here in the midst of all of you. And it's not happening because you all have your life together and you all have all the answers to all the important questions in life. It's not happening because you're good or bad. It's not happening because of any of that. It's happening because you all said, yes, I'd like some of that. Yes, I'd like to be transfigured like Jesus. That's right. Yes, I'd like to be in the story of salvation history. Yes, God, I'd like to be with you. Now, the problem with salvation history is this. It's dangerous and it's full of fear since the beginning of time. Right after Adam and Eve ate of the fruit, the first thing they did is that they hid under a bush and they were afraid. And God goes looking for them. He says, why are you hiding from me under a bush? They said, because we were afraid of the voice of God. And when you read Exodus, what you find out a lot is that the people were afraid of the voice of God. Right after this story in our Exodus reading, the people of God go to Aaron and they say, Aaron, he's been up there too long. As for your God and your brother, we do not know where he is. Make us a golden calf because we are afraid. And in today's reading from Matthew, at the end of the reading, Peter and James and John have heard the voice of God and they are afraid. And Jesus walks over to them and he touches them and he says, get up and do not be afraid. The fall is being overturned. The wilderness is being completed. All of the fear is being overturned by Jesus and his transfiguration. And he's come to each and every one of you, reached over to you and said, get up. Do not be afraid. The good news is not only have you been invited to hear the word of God, but there is no longer any reason to be afraid in the presence of God. God has given us his Son. God has given us Jesus. Yahweh saves to banish all fear and to let us know that indeed salvation history is writ large in our lives and that we are being transfigured by God's grace and Jesus' light. What could be better than participating in that story while being transfigured so that God is being made manifest in us. Amen.